Are you tired of the 9-to-5 lifestyle? Do you want more freedom to do what you want, when you want it, without sacrificing your current income? Then this is the show for you. Every week, we dive into John's journey towards financial freedom and everything he has learned since 2014. Real estate investing, cryptocurrency, stocks, private lending, foreign residency, tax saving strategies, infinite banking, assets protection, and much more. Now, here is your host, the founder of the Wealth and Freedom Nexus, John Rickgarn.
Good morning or afternoon or evening, depending on when you're listening to this. This is, again, the Wealth and Freedom Nexus podcast, and I'm joined with a very special guest, the one and only Cashflow Ninja, MC Laubscher. MC and I actually met in person about 2 years ago at the Spartan Summit in Birmingham, Alabama. We got a lot of shared contacts and interest in that area, which is a booming and prosperous MSA for any real estate investors out there. MC is the creator of the Cashflow Ninja and Cashflow Ninja Investing Secrets podcast and has published over 700 to date over the last 5 years. So as of this recording, I'll have, 693 left to catch up to him. So that will be my next goal. He has spent the last 5 years interviewing over 700 of the best minds in business and investing. And the Cashflow Ninja was also one of the first podcasts that I came across on my own journey when I started on my quest for financial freedom 7 years ago. Finally, MC is also the creator and president of Producers Wealth, helping business owners and investors to capture, maintain, and continually grow their wealth and cash flow. With that, I will let MC take it away. MC, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. Been looking forward to this. It's great to see you again. And it's been a while since Birmingham, Alabama. So yeah. I was looking forward to this and catching up.
Yeah. And in COVID 2020 in there, I first thought like, no, yeah, that was just 2 years ago. It seems maybe three or four ago, but it was two.
Yeah. Time flies when you're having fun. And it's been two very, very busy years. And you know, I continue to stay busy, and you, yourself, are staying really busy.
Yeah. Yeah. I decided, why not launch a podcast when I have a newborn in the house too, you know, just to make things more interesting.
Absolutely. I can relate, actually with the Cashflow Ninja podcast. This was like 2016. I started it. So it's what, 5.5 years, almost 6 years ago. And went through, I mean, a lot of changes at that stage too. We had a baby on the way too. We were moving during that stage.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, when it rains, it pours. So
exactly.
Yeah. Best of luck to you.
Thank you. So, well, MC, maybe you can just kind of give my listeners just a quick background on you as well as your journey of, you know, how you started on your investing journey and kind of left the, you know, 9-to-5, 40-hour, you know, rat race, if you will.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm originally from South Africa. So okay. Living in the U.S. now in Bucks County currently, Pennsylvania. And I came to the U.S. actually 20 years ago. How crazy is that? 2001, yeah, January of 2001, I came to the U.S. I was traveling quite a bit. I was just so impressed with the United States as a whole. Incredible country. If you're born here, by the way, or you live here, you won the lottery, literally. You got a lottery ticket because one of the first things that struck me about the U.S. was the incredible opportunity for upward mobility. Mm-hmm. And people in the U.S. take that for granted. It's like if you travel to enough countries and you've seen enough places, it's not like that all over the world. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's been a lot of changes in the past 20 years, the internet, smartphones. So it has become democratized in a way, the upward mobility, and it will continue to do that. That's the exciting part of what we love. But the U.S. still is, it's a special place because you can literally come from any walk of life. I mean, how many rags to riches stories are there in a country with, you know, 325 million people, more or less?
Exactly.
Yeah, so I did that. I played in a sports league here, rugby, for a number of years up until 2007. And I also played rugby at a pretty high level, was part of the U.S. men's national team player pool. Okay. At that stage, and got to travel the country, which was great. And, you know, while I was playing sports, people could get into all kinds of, you know, habits when they're not playing sports and traveling and spending a lot of time on the road. So some guys play video games. So other people read. I got into reading books about money and history and economics. You know, a passion of mine has been history and economics. And when you bring in financial history and the history of money into it, the world really starts to make sense then. Mm-hmm. You start to realize, all right, it all kind of fits together now. It's like a missing piece, right, of a puzzle. But I started to read a lot. I started to study. My mom actually gave me Rich Dad, Poor Dad, the book from Robert Kiyosaki, the best-selling personal finance book of all time. And then that really got me kick-started. It really changed my paradigm of how I saw money because just came from a regular, you know, middle-class family growing up. So it gave me the context to now full with more content. And I continue to read up and study, but I also took action in between. I think that's a big thing for your listeners too. I immersed myself in content and read, and there wasn't podcasts at that stage. There was audio tape books, right?
Yep.
Books on tape kind of stuff. You know, so I got all of it. I bought stuff late night, you know, watch late night TV. I buy a Cortland Sheets, whatever it is, course, yep. Right? So I bought all of that stuff, the Tony Robbins late night stuff, you know, got into all that, but I took action. I took massive action. Mm-hmm. 20 years ago, I bought my first property.
Okay.
So shortly after the book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And then I remember I had my tenants in the property. They paid rent. I paid all of the bills associated with it. And at the end of the month, there was money left over. And I was just nice. Blown away.
Mm-hmm.
I looked at this and I'm like, did I just crack the code? Is that the code in the book?
Yeah.
And I'm like, cash flow. You got to be kidding me. This is a thing. It's real. Mm-hmm. And then my thought then became, you know, how many times can I do this? And with how many different assets can you do this? Mm-hmm. And what else is out there? And of course, then school starts, right? So I had a lot of ups and downs, a lot of failures in business too. Was involved in a lot of business projects that I started, especially after, during playing sports and after sports. So, there was a lot of lessons. Mm-hmm. And eventually I started figuring things out. There's a couple of, you know, big moments for me personally. You know, one was that instead of just trying to go out into the marketplace and do everything myself mm-hmm. and compete with professionals, why don't I just figure out ways to partner with the best people in the best spaces in the best markets? And I know that you're a fan of that kind of approach too, with turnkey properties and so forth, because you need to know, you have to have a knowledge as an investor, but you don't need to be the person in the trenches, right?
Right.
So I kind of took that step from being the foot soldier in the war to kind of moving my way back to recognizing and realizing that I could be a general, or I could eventually, you know, be the person, the investor with many generals in many different areas. So that was a huge moment for me, a quick turn. And that allowed me, that one thing allowed me to all of a sudden start many different businesses. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden it was successful because it wasn't just dependent on me. And I wasn't just being the person doing the heavy lifting, which all of my failures prior to that has been that. You know, it's that sports mentality. Sports is great, by the way, for business, but sometimes you could be the, you know, I'll lead, other people will follow. I'll be the guy leading the charge instead mm-hmm. of realizing I don't have to lead the charge. I can motivate. I can structure. I can strategize. I can have folks that and build a culture mm-hmm. that I don't need to motivate people. They're charging ahead and I could still be at the back, and I couldn't be involved in many different battles on many different battlefields. So I did that. And when I did that, things finally started to click. Investment started to click. Businesses started to click. Mm-hmm. Projects that I was involved in started to click. And it just snowballed from there. So I was also a big fan, of course, of a life insurance strategy where I use high cash value life insurance to position capital in. I got into that like 13 years ago, approximately. And eventually I saw, you know, I started to see opportunities because I was in so many different verticals and I saw how disconnected they were. So one thing, for example, with real estate, and I was a big real estate investor, I started to realize that the reason why folks are so good with real estate is that because they're focusing on real estate. They just don't, that's why they're good at it. They don't see the other moving parts. So I started a company that brought those moving parts to them, a great place to park your cash as a real estate investor or business owner. And I then created a podcast. Now we're talking to 2016, Cashflow Ninja, which is now an educational company. Okay. Never in my own dreams that I realized that it was going to be downloaded millions of times across the world in 180 countries and build an educational platform out of it. And it's opened a lot of doors for me personally. And then now I've several other businesses that I'm invested in, you know, some of which we raise capital for a lot of projects in multifamily and also resorts and so forth.
Wow. So much to unpack there. I mean, I know you mentioned the first real estate property you got 20 years ago. Mine was actually 5 years ago, and I kind of did things a little bit in reverse. I started with a fourplex and then worked down to single family, but you know, everyone's got their own, you know, individual journey. But I think you touched on a really good part there too, whether it's the businesses or the investing. I think, you know, at least from my standpoint, maybe from yours, you know, growing up in school, we've been told to, you know, get good grades, work hard, you know, slave away, for lack of a better term, at a job for 30, 40, 50 years. And then you will, you know, retire into a utopia of a large retirement account when that day comes. But I think, you know, what, regardless of what the job is, there's only so much scaling you can do that. There's only 24 hours in a day. I mean, even if you could go without sleep and without any other activities, there's only so much you can do and so many jobs you can have, where if you have a team in place, if you have, whether it's a turnkey or another business partner, you know, you're not limited to just one rental property. You can have 2, 5, 10, 20, and even businesses too. I think, was it Richard Branson? I think has like what, over 100 businesses that he technically owns, but I mean, he's not, you know, doing everything in all those businesses every single hour of the day.
Yeah, exactly. And to your point, there's 24 hours in a day, right? So you can either work, and some of us think I can work harder or smarter, or maybe I work harder and smarter. But then the multiplier becomes, how can I work harder and smarter, but also leverage systems and networks? And that's what you mentioned, Richard Branson. That's what, I mean, that now you're talking about, this is what the... This is what the real wealthy folks and families do. They know how to leverage systems and networks. Because it's a multiplier effect.
Systems, networks, money, platforms, people, just leveraging everything to, I think, really kind of create a win-win situation for everyone there too. So you had mentioned like a couple of business failures that you've had along the way. I think Warren Buffett kind of said it best, that you can learn a lot from, you know, your mistakes. You either learn or you earn. I can't remember who said that quote, but Warren also said you can learn a lot more and learn a lot quicker from other people's mistakes. So if there was, you know, maybe one tip or one advice you could give to the listeners, like, what was maybe your biggest lesson or, you know, worst investment that you made per se that you learned the most from?
Yeah. And Charlie Munger said, if you told me where to die, I just won't go there.
I'll keep that in mind.
So, it's a great question. Yeah. I would say like the big light bulb moment was all of a sudden where I started to realize that I needed to be the general and not the foot soldier. When you're building a business, you're going to have to start to be the foot soldier. You're just going to, it doesn't matter what you're building. You're going to be involved with it and you're going to do that. But I would give advice to folks to be very strategic in their thinking when they start, because if you're not strategic, you're going to build a prison for yourself, which you wanted to try and escape from anyway in the first place. That's what happened to me. And it happened actually in a successful business too. At one stage, I'm like, what did I just do? like this isn't what I envisioned for myself. I wanted freedom. That's the main driver. I wanted to work on something that I'm passionate about. But now it's taken my passion away because I essentially built this prison for myself where I'm the boss.
Right.
You know, mostly sometimes when you're in a prison with a job, you don't like the boss. It kind of sucks when it's you. But yeah, so that's what I would say. Be very strategic and know that there will be an inflection point where you have to step away.
Sure.
And it feels like you're handing over your baby to someone else, but you have to do that in order to grow the business. And then, you know, finding the right people. I know it sounds very cliche-ish, and that's, you're going to have to kiss a lot of frogs.
Right.
That's the reality of this. There's no shortcut to that, you know? And that's the one thing, unfortunately, that does come with experience. You do need to put in the hours. So, you know, can you escape bad actors? Yes, you can. With great mentors, by the way. That's one way to do it. If you bring in a mentor to help you vet people, because they have more experience of reading people than you would have. I mean, there's no way when you're 21, 22, or 25, when, you know, I'm just thinking of like bad relationships business-wise. There's no way you can escape that. That comes with experience and reading people and understanding human nature and that kind of stuff. And you could read a lot of books about it too to try and figure it out. But you still have to be engaged with it to learn and read people. But yeah, mentor will shortcut that for you.
Definitely.
And help you dodge some of those issues when it comes to personnel.
Yeah, I think I know we've all talked about the, you know, famous purple book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, but I think probably the second most popular book that Robert Kiyosaki's written doesn't get enough credit is the cash flow quadrant, where he breaks up, you know, where are people getting their income from? And I think everyone kind of has an idea of, yeah, I want to be my own boss. I want to start my own business. And on the cash flow quadrant, he even breaks out of small business versus big business. And, you know, we could split hairs of, well, after 25 employees or 50 employees or whatever would equate to a big business. But I think he put it best of, if you own a business and you went away for a year on vacation and you came back, A, is that business still around? And B, is that business just as successful, if not more so, than when you left? And I think, like you said there, you have to be a general as well and put in systems and sometimes step away. But if you can build a system where you have a great team, a great manager, and, you know, you have stepped away for a year on vacation, the business is running, the business is cash flowing, then you truly have financial freedom. It's not centered, or as you put it, it's not a prison around you where it's you and yourself that's running the business.
Yeah, I think that's a great definition. You know, Dan Sullivan talks about the self-managing company. And you essentially go from self-managing to self-multiplying. And that's what Kiyosaki was trying to share there too, because eventually, you know, it doesn't matter the size of the employees, and revenue is also, I mean, you can debate back and forth, but if you have a business that could be set up and have proper systems and in place and proper structures and proper processes, and you could step away, but because you can leverage technology, the business keeps on growing. I think you've got a pretty good business. You know, one of my businesses, you know, I'll never forget. And because you read about this stuff in books and then you implement and execute. And then when something happens, you're like, oh, you know, like the cash flow story that I shared earlier, my first property. But I remember going to South Africa, my wife and I, my son at the time, we went to go visit my parents there.
Okay.
And we were at a vineyard for lunch and doing some wine tasting and so forth. But because I had proper systems in place, leverage technology, I had an evergreen webinars running, and I logged in, you know, from my smartphone there at night, and I saw 30 people watch the webinar, and there was already 10 people that booked calls with my team for the following week that I would be back in the US. So it was running 24/7. So, I mean, that's the nice thing, that these days with technology, you don't need 100 people. You don't need 150 people. You just need proper systems and processes in place, and leverage technology, because technology is incredible.
Exactly. With that, MC, would you, or maybe I should ask, you know, we already talked about what mistakes and, you know, what's been kind of your worst investment and, you know, what would you relate to listeners? But, you know, on the flip side, what would you say has been your best investment to date?
Myself. And I know that sounds cliches too, but it's, you cannot, there's no way you will be able to grow and continue to grow. And if your business is grown, you don't grow. It's correlated. So the amount of growth that I've had over the past 5 years, I directly contribute to the amount of investment in my own personal growth that I've done. And because of that, becoming a certain person through personal development, you attract other like-minded folks, which opens opportunities and doors that you wouldn't have dreamt possible. You know, I'm involved now with certain businesses that have been complete home runs where I'm a partner in. And that has happened because of the development that I did in myself, the focus to attract similar like-minded folks that are on a similar journey,
right?
Trying to play at the same level and putting just as much emphasis into personal development themselves. So yeah, we always try and look for assets outside of us. You know, you can be an asset or a liability to yourself too. And I certainly was a liability at certain stages in my life, and have become an asset through personal development. But yeah, I mean, in the end, if you think about it, businesses, real estate, paper assets, crypto and blockchain technologies, commodities, like all these asset classes are there. Whether something is an asset that you have or a liability is really up to you, the investor. And that really becomes, you know, it's really empowering, especially during a time that we're living in right now where everybody's pointing fingers at everyone else for all their ills and all their troubles. If you own your present, your past, and your future outcomes, and you realize that everything is a direct result of you, the person looking back at you in the mirror, and it's a complete game changer.
Great advice there. MC, you had mentioned, you know, when you started on your journey, what all books have, you know, helped you the most on your journey, or what all books and resources would maybe you recommend to my listeners that are, you know, maybe don't know what they don't know at this point, and they're just starting off, if they're looking to maybe kind of leap ahead versus just, I'll just read every single book I can find out there.
No, there's certainly the classics, right? The Richest Man in Babylon, The Rich Dad, Poor Dads. You know, there's a lot of great classic books, and you have to read through all of them, and you have to, you have to get those under the belt, if you will. And then, I mean, there are then books that are very specific to certain things. Like, I'll give an example. The Richest Man in Babylon is great. Paying Yourself First. Profit First by Mike Michalowicz is great for entrepreneurs, teaching you the same principles for your business. The business needs to be profitable, and you need to pay the business first with all the monies coming in. And then there's more specific economic and money books. If you're going to be in the game of money, and if you're going to be a real estate investor, you need to understand how it works. So G. Edward Griffin has written some fantastic books, The Creature from Jekyll Island. I was just on Jekyll Island recently. It was kind of crazy to be there, having read so much about what happened there. And actually it was funny. I was at the clubhouse where they essentially drafted the Federal Reserve Act, which was signed into law by Woodrow Wilson. But essentially, they stated there too. You know, it's right there. There's a sign right in the clubhouse over here is where, you know, the players at the time all got together and drafted the legislation and concocted this Federal Reserve banking scheme. So this will teach you how money works, what money is, the history of money. It's also going to teach you the banking and financial system operates. So I'd highly recommend that for any investor. If you're going to be an investor and you're going to operate within markets and this economic world, you're going to have to know those books. And of course, I shared earlier the big aha moment for me being the general rather than the foot soldier. Dan Sullivan is one of my coaches at Strategic Coach. He's got a book now, Who Not How.
Who Not How.
I would highly recommend that to folks too. Who Not How. It changes the questions that you ask yourself, because our first thing as entrepreneurs is, how do I do this?
Sure.
Well, let's just change that, the question that we ask ourselves, to who can help me with this, mm-hmm. or who can I partner with this to do this?
Okay. Very good. And for those listening, and if you're on the road, listening to this or working out or doing household chores, I will have all these books and resources in the show notes for you to look back later. I can highly attest, J. Edward Griffin, very long read, but very, very informative read. I was lucky enough to actually meet J. Edward Griffin at the Summit on Sand 4 months ago with the real estate guys. Just, you know, reading his book and then meeting him in person. I mean, you would just think he's a, you know, down to earth, you know, next door grandpa figure. You wouldn't think, you know, here's this world famous author that did all this research on the Federal Reserve and, you know, what brought our monetary system to what it is today.
Yeah, he's incredible. Incredible man. You know, his research in so many different fields are now, I mean, it's sadly to see a lot of the stuff that he's warned about coming to fruition, yeah. You know, but yeah, he's an incredible guy.
Exactly. So, and then speaking of books, and I'll kind of let you, you know, highlight this a little bit, MC. Now, you have written a book, and at the time of this broadcast, it was published, I believe, 2 days ago. Do you want to speak a little bit about your book and where listeners can maybe find that at?
Absolutely. So it's actually the 21 Best Cashflow Niches, right, is the new book, Creating Wealth in the Best Alternative Cashflow Investments. So why did I write the book? So I've had my show now 5.5, almost 6 years. I've interviewed over 700 of these cashflow ninjas.
Wow.
There's now, at the time of recording between my two shows, it's crazy how time flies. There's over 800 episodes.
Now. Oh, 800. So, sorry, I had 700.
Yeah, no, it's crazy how time flies. But the number one question that folks ask me is, said, MC, you've interviewed some of the best minds in business and investing. What are some of the best opportunities that have been shared on your show? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's a pretty good question. And it came up over and over, because my show's pretty broad. So right. Like I shared, we talk business, we talk real estate, we talk mm-hmm. commodities, we talk paper assets, we talk crypto and blockchain. We've covered that since 2016. So we've covered a lot of stuff on the show. So I'm like, this would be a fun project.
Sure.
So I dove into it and I narrowed it down to 21, which is really hard. By the way, spoiler alert. Yeah, I threw in 5 bonus ones. So there's 26 total.
So it's not really 21, basically.
But 26 doesn't mark it like 21, right?
Gotcha, yeah.
Which is also strange. It's like 5 is a good number, 7, 10. Yeah. And then it's like 20, okay, 21, and it's... Then I guess the next best number is 100, right?
Right.
You kind of like skip from 21 to 100. Yeah, but anyway, yeah.
Those late night commercials, you know, $39.99 seems a lot cheaper than $40 for some reason.
Exactly. Yeah, but it's called the 21 Best Cashflow Niches. And we talk about these different niches in there. There's so many different ways that folks have created wealth. You know, mm-hmm. they have a similar framework and model in their approach to wealth creation, but then just the asset classes and the niches within the asset classes that they choose to implement and execute their investments in or their businesses in is different. So it's been pretty cool to see that, how there's so many different ways to do it.
Oh, exactly.
So that was kind of fun to do that. So for folks that are interested in it, we have a bonus bundle package that I put together. So okay. It's available on Amazon, the book, or you could go to cashflowninja.com/21niches. That's the number 21 in the niches.
Okay.
Or available on Amazon. And if you screenshot a receipt of your purchase or proof of purchase and send it to my team at info@cashflowninja.com, I'm going to give you access to the bonus bundle, which is a digital version of the book and audio. So if you're listening to podcasts, you'll definitely appreciate the audio version.
Sure.
And then also, I curated a library of interviews where people talk about the niches. So you don't have to listen to 700 episodes. You could just listen to the curated library of interviews of the folks sharing it in. And then there's more bonus content in there where we interview more folks about the niches. But yeah, wow. It's been a lot of fun. It's a walk down memory lane. So I've really enjoyed doing it.
Sounds good. And I will have all that information in the show notes as well. And I myself just started reading the book of MC's book. That's now 15 that I have on my Kindle that I'm reading at various stages. I kind of have a bad habit of buying more books than I think I'll read in my lifetime, but it is so far a very, very good read. I highly recommend it. MC, before we close out, is there any, you know, new projects you want to let my listeners know, or any maybe last nuggets of advice or wisdom you'd like to pass on?
Yes. So one of the things that I talk about a lot right now is I talk about how to start a fourth industrial revolution business.
Okay.
Because most folks are not aware of where we are in the cycles. And I'm a big cycle guy. I'm a big cash flow guy, obviously, and I'm a big people person, but I'm also a big cycle person. So currently the world is changing, and it's changing at a speed which we've never seen. Mm-hmm. You know, when you say, oh, the world's changing, yeah, the world changes all the time. We've gone right through many different phases. We've gone from, we've had massive shifts, right? We've gone from the agricultural age to the industrial age, which is a huge shift, but it happened over time. It didn't happen like this right away, but these days we're seeing changes that are so quick and so fast, you know, and we have literally over the past, I would say 20 months, stepped into this fourth industrial revolution world of the Internet of Things, 5G, AI, robotics, machine learning, 3D printing. I mean, we could go on and on of all the stuff that's been being rolled out. Businesses will change and have to change. This could all be very scary for a lot of folks, and it is, and there's reason to be scary, or you could recognize the opportunity in front of you to be on the right side of the greatest transfer of wealth in human history. We've never seen such a transfer. More millionaires and billionaires have been created over the past 20 months than during any other time. So it's already happening, right?
Right.
So how do you position yourself? Well, you have to understand the marketplace in a fourth industrial revolution. You have to understand what would be valuable. And I'll give you, your audience, two really big golden nuggets.
All right.
So the first thing that's going to be valuable if you're a business and building a business is intellectual shortcuts.
Okay.
So what I mean by that is we were in the information age and people sold a bunch of information. Mm-hmm. And they could monetize information, and businesses could monetize information. People want intellectual shortcuts now. There's information everywhere. There's too much information.
Exactly.
It's everywhere. So it's lost its value. When people are like, hey, you want to learn how to do X, Y, and Z? Here's 8 hours of content to consume. And I'm like, that's not valuable. I'm living in 2021.
Yep.
But put it all together in a book that I can read for in 3 hours, or put it together in a video or a course that, or something that takes me an hour and a half to do. There you go. The delivery of value is there. Now I find it valuable. Now I'm like, wait a second. So I can learn this in 30 minutes.
Sure.
If I had to figure this out on my own, it would take me 8 to 10 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm going to take money out of my pocket or a credit card or a crypto wallet and pay for that. Right? And then the second thing that I'm going to share, that's the first part of the business. And the second part of the business is network shortcuts.
Okay.
Network shortcuts, meaning we're humans, you know, we're pack animals.
Yep.
You know, we travel in a pack. That's just how we are. You know, we want to be part of something. We want to be a part of community. We are very tribal in ways, right? We are attracted to like-minded folks, and want to spend more time with people that have the same kind of values, the same kind of principles, the same kind of paradigm and worldview. They're not trying to do similar things in life. That's just how we operate. Now, building networks is a skill, number one. It's a it's a high income skill, by the way. That's why the ultra wealthy focus on this. If you can find a way for your business to deliver access to certain networks and provide a shortcut to networks which folks seek out,
okay,
that is also very valuable. You know, because if you think about it, technology is going to replace so much.
Yeah.
So much of what we do, so many businesses, it's going to disrupt everything, which again could be scary or exciting. For me, it's exciting.
Yeah.
And I'm already looking at this and saying, well, what will still be valuable? Mm-hmm. Those two things, I think it's still going to be valuable for a very, very long time, especially in the day and age that we're in. Intellectual shortcuts and then network shortcuts.
Yeah. And I think you kind of mentioned that brings back the quotes, your network is your net worth. And I believe it was Jim Rohn that said you're the average of the five people you spend the most time with. So if you spend more time with like-minded individuals and want to learn about real estate, you know, hang out with real estate guys, or cryptocurrency, yep, hang around with crypto guys, you know, get those network shortcuts and learn from the best in the business and, you know, kind of leapfrog yourself there. So, well, yep, I appreciate your time, MC. And I think I myself have gotten a lot of great info of this. I think I'm in the minority. I've not actually read The Richest Man in Babylon, but you're the fifth person to bring that up. So I think I better finally get around to it. So if anyone was interested in reaching out to you, learning more about the, you know, Cashflow Ninja programs, the podcast, Producers Wealth, what would be the easiest way to reach out to you?
Cashflowninja.com. So cashflowninja.com would be the best one. And for your listeners out there, the book you can grab at cashflowninja.com/21niches. So please, yeah, let us know that you found us on the show too when you reach out to us. And after you purchase the book on Amazon, we'll give you access to all of the goodies.
Perfect. I appreciate that. And yeah, I'll definitely put all those links in the show notes so the listeners have access to that. Thanks again, AMC. It's been great to catch up. I hope everything's well with you, and stay safe in these interesting times that we're in.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Be sure to share, rate, review, and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. For more updates, check out www.wealthandfreedomnexus.com. Remember, nothing on this show should be considered tax, legal, investment, or professional advice. This show is produced solely for educational and informational purposes. Please consult an appropriate and licensed tax, legal, real estate, or business professional for specific advice for your situation. For distribution or publication rights or media interviews, please contact the host.